Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Shabbat shalom to the Mr. Kazi family, to brothers and sisters out there. Let's get ready to go before the Most High in prayer, as you hear in the background the sound of the shofar, signifying the gathering, the coming together, the solemn assembly, and this being the day that the Most High has made, his Sabbath, the only day he blessed, and he did not change that day. To the first day of the week. It is today. Our Abba, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In honor of the kingdom, the power, and bless the prophets and prophesy to him, and the faith of the people increase from hearing the word. And may we be blessed in this day. Have mercy on us. We thank you for mercy, grace, and every good thing you've bestowed upon us this week. As we rest up, prepare ourselves for whatever you have for us. Father, we thank you for your grace and most of all for our brother, your son, that sacrifice, the only law that was done away with, which was the sacrificial law, that having to kill animals and bulls and goats for our sins. He once and for all paid the price, and we thank you, Abba, Father, that you cared enough to give us your only son. Now give us words, give us strength, give us peace, give us joy on suffering. Give us what you want us to have. Thank you for the sign between us and you, for Jesus.
Shema, Shema, Shema. Shema, Shema, Shema. Shema, Shema, Shema.
Hallelujah. Shema Israel. What a beautiful song. But it's even more beautiful, those words, because it is a prayer. And it is also the first two words of a section of the Torah. It is better known as the Shema. A prayer that serves as a centerpiece in the morning and in the evenings by Hebrews alike. Not them Khazars, not them Sephardics, not the converts that want to be us. You can find that in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We don't believe in the Trinity. He's one. So that's Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power, is one. Greetings, I'm Elder B. You're tuned in to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Alm Hoyta here on Blog Talk Radio. And it's another day, another blessed day that you probably heard me say at the beginning of the lesson. This is and will always be the only day that he blessed in the beginning of the foundation of the earth. He called it a blessed day. Told Adam and Eve to go be fruitful and multiply and enjoy what I've given you. And it was the only day that was blessed. And then later on, we find out through the children of Israel escaping out of Egypt, that he gave them double on Friday so that they could just enjoy themselves and relax on the seventh day of rest. The very word Sabbath comes from the word seven in Latin. Boy, they do mind tricks on you. And then suddenly they want to tell you the Sabbath is Sunday. You can't even get that out of the first day of the week. First day of the week is Sunday. And we know that Christ did not rise up on Sunday. And the women came to the tomb at sundown Saturday, which was the beginning of a new day, because the evening and the morning of the first day, the angel told them that Christ, Yeshua, had already risen and he was already gone. And we know this to be true, which is a segue for me to tell you the title of my lesson and why I'm saying this: lying ass pastors. And my wife thinks that'd be crazy when I mention the word ass. And we're going to find out in 2 Peter, the second chapter, that he utilizes that word in that capacity. And that's what we're dealing with, is false prophets in the land. What they're doing, people, which I want to talk about, is that these churches are making merchandise of our people. And not only the churches, a lot of these camps as well. The moment you go to selling t-shirts and mugs with your image or some other image, which we talked about last week, trying to make images of what Christ might look like and all that, that's against his word. That's idolatry. So we're going to get into covetousness, lies, and false prophets, and shed some light on that. The basis of our lesson will be 2 Peter, the second chapter. So we're going to get into that. Blueprint for Life is a show, a lesson that deals with the fact that the law is not done away with, will never be done away with. It's what you're going to be graded on. And there's no curve. When you stand before him, there has to be a book that's opened, and we'll see if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the reason it will be in there is because you kept his statutes, laws, and commandments, and you proved that you love him. The laws and commandments are protection for you. They're a blueprint for your life. And because you love him so much, you're willing to keep them, because he says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Don't let the church and these pastors tell you that his commandments are the church bylaws, church rules, giving them your tithes. The only part of the Torah and Tanakh they want to keep alive in these churches. It's the only part. How come he didn't do away with that law? But he did away with every other law. Constant lies. And we were warned about that. We're going to get into those scriptures today. So I'm going to synthesize and blend in the reading of the law with this lesson as I talk about covetousness, idolatry, and money, as I've been trying to intertwine these lessons for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Those statutes, laws, and commandments are a blueprint on how you should live your life so that you can restore the moral fiber of our community and integrity and character that's been lost over the years. I remember watching black and white TV before there was color TV. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because we didn't have the immorality on TV that we had back in the 60s and 70s. We didn't have such immorality being broadcast in our homes like we do today. You turn on the TV, they're doing full-blown cursing, full-blown sex scenes on soap operas, full-blown homosexuality and lesbianism, full-blown pedophilia, full-blown corruption. They even got you cheering for a TV show called Lucifer and cheering for the enemy or cheering for the villain and the robber. We pull for the bad guy as opposed to the good guy. We like seeing the cops get killed, blown up, everything. We always are pulling for the bad. Society's been corrupted. Morals have been lost. The only thing that can restore order is to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, which will give you integrity, because you cannot convert your soul, your heart, your life, your mind, unless you keep the commandments. Nothing else is going to change you. Christianity has perverted people and made them twofold worse. Christians do a lot of lying, a lot of whoremongering after church on Sunday. They hooking up and linking up as soon as church is over, winking eyes. The offering comes, they're playing music and switching all around the offering plate, and the deacon trying to figure out which one he going to take home. This is ridiculous. The homosexuals up there on the organ directing the choir, and the whole choir's filled with gays and lesbians, and the pastor won't preach against nothing, but shall a man rob God? This is lunacy. Great shall be he that will teach and preach the commandments in the kingdom of heaven, in the new Jerusalem. And if you're not preaching that, I don't know what the heck you're preaching, which is why we have a ton of lying-ass pastors going out to kick it today so they can get ready tomorrow to get that money. And they got to come in looking good, too. It's a clown show. The women are not dressing in modest apparel. You want to see tight skirts and breasts out? Go to church on Sunday. Why? Because they say, come as you are. No, let your heart come as you are. You don't walk in something that's supposed to be the house of God looking like a prostitute on the streets. Even when I was in church, the real church mothers back in that time who didn't know no better, who still had the Holy Spirit and could hear the laws being written on their hearts, would cover women up as soon as they came in. I had somebody tell me this week that, why don't you deal with them men and they lustful ways? Hey, hold up. If a man or even if a woman sees nudity, it's natural because God put that in Adam and Eve in the beginning. When he saw Eve, he stood back and immediately was like, wow. He made us to be attracted to the opposite sex, which is why back in 1973, homosexuality was classified as a mental disorder if you looked at the same sex and was attracted. It's a mental disorder. They got that off the books quick. But that's why the suicide rate is so high in that community. So, no, it ain't man needs to get some love. No, you need to cover up, sisters. Have some respect about yourself. That's one thing I will applaud the Muslims on is that they sisters have on their hair coverings and be covered up and not trying to promote lust. But in Christianity, and I got grace, I can look any kind of way, dress any kind of way. And it's going on with the brothers, too. You know what you're trying to accentuate so that a woman will look at you and be attracted. Got that tight-ass blazer on and them little pants with your crotch showing. And knowing women going to look at you. So it's you need deliverance. It's going to be the word ass all day, so get used to it. You can sit over there if you want, because I'm going to deal with this stuff. Foolishness is out. So Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of the man. You cannot change until you let the law evangelize you. And you need to start with the Ten Commandments. And once you get those down, grow into the dietary laws, into the brotherly laws of how you treat your fellow brother and sister, and then grow into the dress code and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and how we pray and how we fast and how we keep the right day of worship. The thing about Sunday is I worship on Sunday. But in the Christian church, they've set Sunday aside as the day. And it's sun worship. It's helio worship. That's why they have sunrise service. They go wait for the sun to rise and worship in the sun. They don't even realize what they're following. Something that has been passed down through tradition. Now, true enough, we should worship every day. But the way these people set Sunday to the side in the form of idolatry is against the Most High. So we're going to deal with it. If you want to call in and talk about it, 213-769-0910. I'm getting ready to turn it over to Sister Tamar so she can lighten up my tone. She's going to talk really nice to y'all.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. I see it's going to be a powerful lesson today. Wow, it's on fire. And it's just 10 o'clock, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. So excited to finish up a busy, emotional, just everything week to come into the presence of the Most High. So, you know, once he's bringing you through things and allowing you to transform your mind and your body and your spirit, you have to just find a place to give him thanks. So I'm thankful to be here with you on the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in again. Also, this past week we had a show, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. This is our herbal segment, healing for the mind, body, and soul. And here, this healing ministry is to encourage you to live a healthy lifestyle. It's a renewing of the mind, so you're not partaking in foods that are unclean. And so here we're encouraging you to always do the research. We're not physicians. We are not practicing medicine. We're not doing anything against the laws of Yah or the laws of this captivity in America. What we're trying to do is educate our people, because what has been given freely to us is being given to you freely. So today, our herb is going to be ashwagandha. And I'll spell that because that's not an everyday word that one would use. So ashwagandha is how it sounds. Ash, A-S-H. Then W-A, G as in girl, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, D as in dog, H as in house, A as in apple. Again, ashwagandha. A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A. This particular herb, it promotes physical and mental health. It's a body rejuvenation and longevity. It is also known to help with anxiety and improve energy. It also promotes health, fertility. This particular herb relieves stress that can contribute to your anxiety. It helps with male fertility. But the one thing about this this particular herb to know, it is good for your memory. It's good for your brain. I know at one point ginseng came out and everybody was getting ginseng this, ginseng that.
And kind of like the 80s, I think.
All right, 90s, 2000s. But I think the one thing about when they tell us what to get is being mass-produced. We were watching yesterday or the day before about the Beyond Burger. And so when a certain particular maker was producing that plant-based meat, I think it's $6.99 a pack, it was all good. Now Burger King and some of the other factories want to get on the bandwagon and start producing this plant-based burger because everybody's trying to eat healthy.
Well, let me add this a little quick before you go where you're going. They were in San Carlos in a little tiny warehouse making them with a small batch of employees. Now they've been bought out by a mass warehouse factory that's going to mass produce this meat along with beef. So it's going to get mixed with all kind of crap.
It's going to get mixed. They're probably going to put some pork in it. They're probably going to put some beef in it. And so we have to learn to make some of this plant-based food ourselves, because what's going to happen is that people are going to start getting sick. Again, I was just reading this article that one of our brothers in Vegas put up, and it's a cute little article. It's the little boy asking his mom, saying, "Mom, why is there no cure for cancer?" And mom responds, "Well, because it is profitable to treat versus curing." And that's the same thing with this meat. They're trying to make profits off of our ignorance. They have been doing it for years. That's why we have to learn how to read. We have to trust Yah on all things. Pray to him first, listen to his voice, and also read his word to get a clear understanding and read the back of these labels, and don't be fooled by the covering up of the unclean things that we're not supposed to put in our body.
You know, I wanted to say something about the cancer. They will sell. They've got cancer patients buying medicine that costs $700 a bottle, and it doesn't cure them. They still die.
Right.
And I watched this man die, and they have him paying exorbitant amounts for this medicine, and it doesn't help. It's not designed to cure you.
No. And you've been seeing here lately that people have been diagnosed with this disease and don't even have it. So we need Yah. I'm praying that he comes back in his timing. Not because we see the pains of this earth and what's going through, but I truly believe that if we continue to trust in him when it comes to these dietary laws, we will live. Elder V and the word tells us, Elder V always like to say, he promises 70 years. Anything over that, we truly have been blessed. So to reach 70 and live, it will be amazing, because they are trying to take us out by the air we breathe, by the water we drink, and by the food we partake. So this healing ministry is important. And I know that there are a lot of people that are trying to get on the bandwagon on educating our people by either picking up herbs and putting in them in capsules and selling them for profit.
Scared of that.
Or speaking with little knowledge and understanding of what these particular herbs do. That's why we always encourage you to do the research yourself. It's nice that everybody wants to encourage the people, and I'm not knocking anyone. I'm encouraging you. They used to always say when I was young and probably before my time, if you want to hide something from our people, put it in a book because we don't like to read. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. We need to change that narrative and get educated about what they are hiding in the book.
I wanted to say something about that. It's funny you should go there. When she says do the research, don't go to Google and type the word in and see what you get, because the internet is controlled. And what they want to come up on the first three pages will be disinformation. I encourage you to go to a bookstore and find a book that was written in the 60s, 70s, or 80s on herbs.
Right.
Before they started tainting everything, and get you some knowledge, information, and read about it. Don't trust the internet.
Right.
There's lies on the internet.
Right. And when I look up herbs to bring out, it takes me a while because again, I was on my Tuesday show. I brought up the herb black cohosh, and when I was reading about that herb, I told Elder B. I said they say that this can cause liver damage. And he said, you need to find something, you know, don't look at it. And so you have to get in real good depth and study about these herbs, because they will try to tell you that it will have an adverse effect
right,
on you
right.
first trying to heal you.
Right.
But you have to be mindful. Let me tell you, when you are in sync with Yah's voice, he'll tell you exactly what you need. Just listen and go get it.
They are monitoring certain herbs where it spikes in the marketplace and people start buying it.
Right.
They come up with some bad information on the internet, or else they will increase the price. I remember like echinacea, super echinacea
right.
with golden seal used to be $8 for a little thing.
Yeah.
It now costs $25 to $30.
Iodine with kelp. Remember they brought out elderberry. That one.
Right.
Whenever you see that they're putting something out to say, oh, this is good, because people are getting smarter, the prices go up and they're tainting it because it's
right.
mass produced.
Right.
So in all things, do in moderation.
I have one more. CBD oil. Just found out a lot of the CBD oil they're selling, which really helps with the depression, pain, everything, it's not real CBD. They're making it in a lab. Mass producing it and making it inside of the lab. I have a friend who's my brother. We grew up since second grade, who's a scientist, and he's making stuff, creating it, and trying to sell it, get people to pick it up. When they see it gets popular and it has medicinal properties, they try to take control of it, the world, and manipulate it and change it, and it has side effects. They like black cohosh helps women who are premenopausal or who have PMS and things like that. Black cohosh helps, and they were telling people this, so now they're telling you, no, it's bad for you. Let me take it.
So again, I'm just encouraging you. I would advise you, if you have any questions, contact us. We're on Facebook. We started an Instagram account, and so definitely just follow us as we try to promote health and great wealth within our community as we prepare to receive what the Most High is going to give us as a people in the form of reparations. We have to renew our mind. We have to get ready. We don't want to be sluggish in our thoughts and our joints, our activities. Let's get prepared for what the Most High has for its people, and let's get going. Use it in the right way. With that said, this is our herbal segment. I want to go into our brief announcement. This past Tuesday on the Heart of the Hebrew Woman, we had a young lady that came on to share her testimony about serving 8 years in federal prison. She's a young lady, and I encourage you, if you know anyone, a young lady or someone you see, encourage them to listen to that rebroadcast,
mm-hmm.
because we brought out a lot of things. And as women, we are They're coming after us next if we're not mindful.
Right.
We have to remember not to accept all the applause that this world gives
us.
Yeah,
tell them that statistics you gave you.
The statistics of the women in prison has went up 700% within a year, within 1 year.
They're incarcerating our women now.
And she also says that was enlightening that the visitation for women is hardly none. The resources for women in prison is little to none. So our women are being used in this world to bring a disruptive in the order of what the Most High has given us. Thus, we have to be mindful that we stay in order. I know a lot of sisters don't want to hear that because we got this "I'm every woman," whatever song or whatever is going on in this world to keep us asleep. Women, I'm encouraging you. Don't fall for the okie doke. They're trying to come after us, and they're going to use whatever they can to get us to either comply, and those of us who don't comply, going to go to jail. So I'm praying for you, sisters. Listen to the rebroadcast that was on Tuesday. Most High willing, this Tuesday, I will be on with the new show. Wednesday is Inspirational Wednesday. And then on Sabbath, we will have our Sabbath lesson. I want to throw this out here while I have the microphone before Elder V takes it. I would like to have Elder V or the brothers to have a conversation about the marriage vows. I was doing some research, and that comes from the Catholic Church, the vows. There's no scripture saying what is given the groom and then the bride. I want him to break down where that comes from, why is it applicable, and how we can, how is that used in the Bible to for the marriages. Is
that's,
it something?
That's true. It was handed down.
It was
that's
handed
true.
Down.
I mean, you can talk about it right now. It was handed down, and it's just in the book.
In the book,
but
it's not
don't start, because you're going
to
women, that little section in them vows and women don't like. So they'd be glad to hear that we ain't got to keep that no more.
No.
But you should write your own vows according to the scriptures in Torah.
Right. So that's something I researched, and I thought I'd bring it out, and we'll go from there. With that said, I'm Sister Tamas.
Praying for
And we are
called in sick.
Praying for Brother D. My brother, we're going to come out there and visit you before I start this new job. Most High willing, we're going to fly out there and maybe just do a quick day trip, pray for you, spend some time with you, and fly home because we miss you, brother. You are a sound brother. We love you. Anything that we can do for you, you know we're here. We have your back, and we're praying for a speedy recovery. And within 2 weeks, I think you'll see us there. Most High willing. Shalom.
All right, Shalom. We'll be right back and get into this lesson about your lying-ass pastors.
This is Truth Music, the Truth Movement. Movement. Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hates us. The world is against us. We gon' bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us. Take our names away, but couldn't shake us now. Now praise to the Most High with all your might. What a feeling, y'all. We live the life.
Lie to us, Christians lie to us. The history is tied to us. Nobody cried for us. Messiah died for us. Ask the saints. All of them cry for us at last. The truth has finally come out. We the people of the Bible. This is no doubt. Can these bones live? I am living proof and baffled. Why my people hate the truth? False religions, false idols, false titles. This is truth music, not elementary recitals. Feel this, y'all. Get close to the speaker. The world strengthens me when I'm feeling weaker. Let it sink down deep, deep into your mental soup. Get so hot it overheat. Instrumentals, we from the big cities plus the big lights. What a feeling, y'all. We the Israelites.
Long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many. Shot down.
You can't. Hallelujah. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. I'm Elder V. That was Sister Tamal, the announcements. And shout out to Sister Shanae as well, who co-hosted with her on that Tuesday show. Hey, sisters, that's real. I mean, incarceration for women has shot up 700%. So they try and destroy us as a people. They got tired of just getting the brothers ever since Sandra Bland and all that. And the way that a lot of women are, well, trying to play the man anyway, they're, it's a trick. But go back and listen to the rebroadcast. Go to our Facebook page, Almhoida, A-L-M-H-O-I-D-A, or go into the archives here on blogtalkradio.com/Almhoida, A-L-M-H-O-I-D-A, and listen to those broadcasts. You know, we have a mandate on us to keep preaching these statutes, laws, and commandments, even when your family, your friends, all these churches don't want to hear it. Don't stop. You know, I almost shed a tear last week when I reflected and I was turning on the computer. I said, I've been turning on this computer for almost 12 years now doing this. I lost a lot of friends and a lot of family members turned their back on me because of this. But the Most High said, I came with a sword. I came to separate father from son, daughter from mother-in-law. This message, this truth, is not liked by people, which is why the road is a narrow road. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, which is your Christianity, which you can't find in the Bible. Was Yeshua a Christian? No, he wasn't. But you on Sunday morning going to be talking about, I want to be like Jesus. What? Well, he kept the Feast of Dedication, Feast of Tabernacles. He kept a Feast of Trumpets. He kept Atonement. But you're not keeping that. You're keeping Christmas and Halloween. I don't know who you're being like, but you're being like a pagan religion. And you're being played, which is going to be the title of our lesson. But hallelujah. All praises for that song as well. We waking up to the truth. The basis for this lesson, I'm going to be in 2 Peter, the second chapter, is the basis, verses 1 through 22. But I want to go to Matthew 24 and 11 before I go there and let you know that it said many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Yeshua, Christ told us that. He warned us. You think you're not living in that time? Go turn on TBN. Wait till tomorrow. From sun up to sundown, false prophets will be prophesying to you a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. They have a form of godliness. And I said godliness because they don't know Yah. Because to know Yah is to keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And if you're preaching on Sundays that that's done away with, you are the liar that is a son of Satan and you're the false prophet. That's talking about you anointed and you're not anointed. When you don't keep his commandments according to the book of Proverbs, your prayers go to the ceiling and come right back down. He listens to his children when they pray because they keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. The angels take your petition before Yah. The only prayer that you can pray and not having kept these commandments is a prayer of repentance, which is a complete turnaround. I'm going to be doing a television show and connected to our blog talk called 180. When you turn to the commandments, you do a 180, not a 360, and continue in your mess. On Sundays, the church preaches a 360. They even got songs, Christian gospel songs. Somebody, every time I turn around, because they're doing a 360. They're not turning and walking the opposite way. They're still walking in their flesh. So if you want to call and talk about this, what we're talking today at the end of the lesson, 213-769-0910. I know Brother D's under the weather, so I'm going to have Sister Tamar do some reading for me out of Second Peter. You know I love Peter because one of my favorite is 2 Peter 3:16, where he warns us about Paul's letters, that if you don't know Torah and Tanakh, the commandments, the laws, then everything Paul has told you will be confusing. You won't even understand where he's coming from. You got to have a foundation. It's got to be there. You don't go to college without having gone to high school. You don't go to high school without having gone to junior high. You don't go to junior high without having gone to elementary. You don't go to elementary without having gone to preschool. You throw all that out and think you're going to college, it's not going to happen. So don't you tell me the Old Testament is done away with. Go into the archives and you'll see where that madness came from. Back in 144 AD, a false prophet by the name of Marcion compiled the first canon of scriptures, and was all Paul's letter. He said Paul was the only true apostle in the book of Luke. And he said that the God of the Old Testament, Yah, is a totally different God than the one today. You're right. Because the one they're serving today, they think is a God that skips through the roses and through flowers and petals, and he just forgives everything, and he loves the sinner but hates the sin. They've created another God. They say that God of the Old Testament is mean. No, he has standards, laws, etiquette, rules, regulations. You know, kind of like when you walk out your front door and have to stop at the stop sign, stoplight, do what the police officer says, do what your boss says, do. Right. What makes you think he's any different when Satan and man ain't trying to do nothing but copy his pattern? Let's get it. Let's hit this. 2 Peter, the second chapter, is a warning against these false prophets and lying ass pastors. You're not ready? 2 Peter 2:1 says this, but there were false prophets also among the people. Now, this is very interesting because in Matthew, Yeshua prophesied. Peter's confirming, saying he's going to the churches and he's realizing that it's all kind of fake pastors popping up. Why? Because it became popular. Let's not forget in Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, who saw the power of casting out demons and wanted to do the same thing and went and tried to cast the demons out of a man and got their tail whooped. Copying, copycats. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, who said, let me buy that Holy Spirit that y'all have. How much does that cost? Because he was using pharmakia to bewitch the people, drugs. So, Peter's letting you know. And don't think it stopped today. It's even worse. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. It's like me, Brother D and I were talking about how even in the camps now, they want you to think that the scattered Israelites, the southern tribe, Benjamin and Judah, because those are the only ones that got scattered, they want you to believe that the scattered dispersed tribes are Gentiles. We can't be Gentiles because the book of Genesis tells you who the Gentiles are. Those Sephardic Jews, the Isle of the Gentiles, go back and read that in Genesis, and it'll describe every nation that's a Gentile. Once you get those names, go to Google, type them in, and see what that nation is called today, because the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Or the guilty, I should say. So those names have all changed, but we are not Gentiles, never have been, because we are the Negroes who are the sons of Shem. Those Gentiles are of Japheth. I'm not going to preach that today, but just go pull that up. So make note of that. So we were never the Gentiles. I know who preaches that. IUIC, a few other people, and this brother who was on the internet today. So they want you to believe that that when Peter had the dream about Gentiles being at the door of unclean foods, that that devout man from Rome, the centurion soldier, was really a Hebrew. This is what's happening in Christian churches, in the camps. That's a Jedi mind trick when somebody tells you that it's saying something that's not there. It's also called eisegesis, when you read into the text something that's not there. Exegesis is to properly, through the context of the entire chapter, exegete what is being said, because scripture interprets scripture. So it's line upon line, precept upon precept, a little bit here and a little bit there. If somebody asks you, what does this verse mean? You should be giving them another verse to explain that verse. And that's line upon line, precept upon precept. Just like what I'm telling you, 2 Peter 2:1 is lining up with Matthew's warning us about false prophets. That's your precept. But we're going to go through the chapter, and as I go through the chapter, I will give you precepts to confirm what we're reading. No eisegesis. Don't allow someone to tell you what this means. No, that's a Jedi mind trick. You know, Star Wars, where he had the ability to make people say what he said. Right. And that's what the pastor does on Sunday, preaching damnable heresies. And they talk about this in private. You don't even, you wouldn't believe how pastors get on the phone and share what they're going to teach the congregation to sway them a certain way. Let me say this to you. Did you not know if you're a 501c3 with a 500 or more church membership that you have to go to government meetings twice a year from Washington, D.C., giving them orders of what they can preach and cannot preach, and what they want them to do in case of an emergency in the area, and what they want them to tell the people? right, because they took that away when they created the 501c3 Lyndon B. Johnson. It was to hush up the churches that had proper motives to galvanize the community back in the 50s and 60s. It was a meetup place for us to figure out what we were going to do and strategize. It's not that anymore. It's a circus. It's a clown show. It's a haven for homosexuals, pedophilia, fornication, adultery. If you really want to have a relationship with Yah, it has to be personal with you and him. And do you know what the church is? It's your temple. Because he said, I will not live in temples made by man. He doesn't reside there. Where does he reside? He lives inside the praises of Israel. In other words, he inhabits the praises of Israel. That's in Psalms. You look it up. I'm not giving it to you. Google it. And then he also said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. I'm having church right now, sitting here with my wife and everybody else that's online listening. He's here. It's not a pagan temple with a idolatrous cross sitting on a steeple that's been fashioned after something else pagan, and I'm not going into that today. It's all a trick and a trap because it's a place to make merchandise of the people. Let me read the rest of verse 1. They're even denying the Most High that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. False prophets. They are denying him. I'm telling you, this has been taught ever since 144 AD of a separate person, a separate God that they worship, the God of this world. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, Satan said, I will be worshiped. I will be just like the Most High. I'm going to sit in the seat in the temple. I shall be worshiped. It's happening today. False prophets. And you're bringing swift destruction upon the people and yourself. They're marching people straight to hell by telling them, you don't have to keep the commandments and laws. That was done away with. That's a lie. The only thing done away with was the sacrificial aspect of the law. Let's go to verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's what I just got through saying to you. Your family's talking bad about you. The church you was in. Me and Sister Ma have been banned from all the Christian churches in the Bay Area. They didn't find out about us. They saying we preaching a false doctrine. Because I done walked up in their churches on Sunday and preached the truth. I will still go. If you want me to come to your church on Sunday, I will come and preach. And guess what I'm going to preach? Blessed assurance. What's your blessed assurance? 1 John 2 and 3. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if you say you love him and keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Then I'm going to Matthew 7 and 21 when he said people are going to stand before him and say, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why doesn't he know you? Because you don't know his commandments. What's the blessed assurance? I have assurance that I will see him. He will know me because I keep his commandments. Yeah, we banned. I think it's been about four churches we went to on Sunday and preached this truth. And you know what they did? It didn't hit them at first. Power fell on them. But then a week later, it's like, hey, wait a minute. Did he just tell us we need to keep the commandments? Got back to us and what long before they were like, don't you ever come back in here again. This is why many shall follow the pernicious ways of the false prophet. That's what they prefer because that gospel just makes them feel goosebumps. It feels good. It's a feel-good gospel. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. We're crazy. We're trying to put the people back in bondage. He didn't say I couldn't have a little ham or crab. Y'all are crazy. Y'all in a cult. Let's keep it pushing. Check this out. Here we go. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Every pastor on Sunday wants a bigger house. I ain't nothing wrong with me being rich. He wants a bigger house. He wants a bigger car. They have the pastor's anniversary. I don't know what scripture that is, where they give him $20,000 to $100,000 every year on top of his salary. Covetousness. These pastors are becoming millionaires, which is why you got a church on every corner.
Billionaires.
Billionaires in Africa. The pastors are billionaires preaching lies. And look at the people that are following them. Verse 3, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Meaning their damnation is coming, Their destruction is coming, and judgment is coming upon them. It will happen. You want to say something? We're going to keep going. It's through covetousness that you have a wolf in sheep's clothing on Sunday, looking like Smiley Joe Osteen.
Ooh.
Go to Al Horton and look at that picture I put up of all them pastors that you're going to see tomorrow preaching on Sunday. And they preaching, you know what? They've gotten slick. They almost had me when I was in the church. They're preaching philosophy now and psychology. And they're working on the people's emotions, giving them what they want to hear. Because don't nobody want to hear the real gospel, which is Torah and Tanakh. Let's get this straight. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. When he was writing that, the only thing that was written was Torah and Tanakh, the book of the prophets, the book of Enoch, the Torah, Jasher, Jubilees, what's in the other 14 books. What's that called? The little red book.
Oh, Apocrypha.
Yeah, the Apocrypha. Thank you. This is what he was in reference to. He wasn't in reference to Paul's writings and all. They were writing letters while they was in jail to the different churches. That's not scripture. Scripture is Torah, Tanakh, Apocrypha, Enoch. That's scripture. These are called epistles, which in other languages is a letter. These are letters. Let's get that straight. Let me continue. I haven't even got past the fourth verse. 2 Peter 2:4. For if Yah spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved only 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, making an example of Sodom and Gomorrah, and letting all people know that this is what happens when you are a Sodomite and you live ungodly. I'm coming with judgment. It's going to happen. Let's think about Noah. I believe it was 140 years. He preached rain was coming. Nobody believed it because they'd never seen it. They'd never seen the firmament crack and water come from underneath the ground and there'd be a tyrant, a flood because of sin. And guess what, people? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before Christ returns, the coming of the Son of Man. Do you know, I just read an article the other day that China is splicing humans with all kinds of animals? They are tampering with DNA, and they're not telling you how they're cloning people. We are in that time, and you don't even realize how close we are. We're already in a civil war. The United States is getting ready to be destroyed, and we're already at the brink of World War III, but they're already fighting behind the scenes, and you don't see it. You believe what you see on the news. They're not going to let you know how deeply entrenched in war we are already with Russia, China, Iran, and South Korea, North Korea. They're not going to let you know. The bankers are going to push for the war because both sides of the war get money from the Federal Reserve. But this is not that type of show. I'm sticking with the commandments today. You don't know that we're already in the same times that it was in the times of Noah. And nobody wants to believe it because the whole world is having a good time. Marrying and giving in marriage. People marrying kids, same sex, animals. It's anything goes now. And it's all being done in the name of democracy. I'm not going to go into that. I want to so bad. Verse 7, 2 Peter 2:7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot was so vexed. All he heard was, let us in. We want them men. It was trying to bang down. Lot was like, take my daughters. But if you pay close attention, let me show you something. He said, delivered only Lot. Why? His wife looked back. She wanted to hold on to parts of the world. And his daughters were condemned because once they got out of there, the daughters had sex with their dad and created two different nations that weren't supposed to even be in existence. Ammon and Moab. Because they had Down syndrome, having sex with their father. to keep that pushing. Listen, 2 Peter 2:8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, because Leviticus 18:22 condemns homosexuality and lesbianism. And he was vexed daily. Could you imagine? I'll give you an idea. Castro District in San Francisco, Castro Street. Could you imagine if you was forced to have to live on Castro Street and hear and see this all day, all night, every day? Then you know on Castro Street, they used to actually sit on the street naked, butt naked. Men kissing on each other right there on Castro. They like, if you don't like it, you got to go. But just say you had to live there and were forced to live there. This is what it was like for Lot. What his wife wanted to look back for, I'll never know. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. What I want you to see here is that Psalms tells you, fret not thyself because of the prosperity and riches of the wicked. It'll be yours. He said, don't look at them and gloat and glean, because what's happening? 2 Peter 2:10 tells us that he's reserving the ungodly. He's actually preserving them. He's like, nah, let me have them. I'm going to get them in due time. Don't you look at them and ask me why. I reserve them too. What am I reserving them for? The day of judgment. I need somebody to be here when I rain down hellfire. I'm not going to kill them all now. I'm going to get them all at one time. Which is why he constantly makes a way of escape for you when temptation comes at you. The problem with most of you Negroes is that emergency exit that's blinking saying this way to the left, you act like you don't see it because you want to be in sin. But every time temptation comes your way, if you turn your head, you'll find out there's an emergency exit or a break in case of emergency glass with a key in it. You don't have to sin. If you're sinning, it's because you're still living in sin. And you still lust after sin, because this verse just said he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and how to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment, where they will be punished. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. I guess I got ahead of myself. The next verse is saying what I just said. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. What he means by government, he's talking about law and order, established order. Presumptuous are they. You presume you're going to have another day to continue to sin, or that you can straighten it out another day. You're self-willed. You do what you want to do, and not afraid to speak evil of dignities, which means people who are godly, people who are over you, people that are sent there to teach you the word, the statutes, the laws, and commandments, people that have more knowledge of you. And you shouldn't even be cursing people that are in high esteem. Stay away from this conversation about Obama, Clinton, and Trump. Don't even touch it. Our focus is on the Most High. And definitely stay away from those that are probably false prophets. Don't even put your words on them. It is not for us to slander. We're to be keeping these laws and commandments. That's a distraction. Verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before Yah. Even the angels don't make railing accusations about the stuff they see you do that you think you're doing in private in the dark and don't nobody see you. That angel got that notebook. He like, as soon as the sun go down. They just go back and tell what you've done, but they don't be like, you ought to kill them. Guess what this Negro was doing? No, the angels don't even do that. The angels don't bring railing accusations even against the ungodly. The Most High is omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing. He sees all. They don't have to. He's going to deal with sin because he don't like sin, because he can't sin. He's not sin. Sin came is a premise that comes from Satan. Lies come from Satan. The Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, meaning Yah is not a man that he can't even lie. Who would he be lying on? But Satan, liar, deceived a third of the angels and still deceiving us today.
and trying to confuse us with, I gave the scripture to a brother this week, wonderful week with him. He left Christianity, false teachers, and some priests probably touched him because he alluded to that. And now he doesn't believe in Yah anymore. He don't believe in him, and now he follows science, and he believes in evolution. But I told him the scripture about science and how it's been put out there and how Timothy was warned not to follow after science and man's technology. And that scripture just shut him down because he never heard that, because these false pastors don't preach this stuff. Just listen again. Even the angels don't bring railing accusations. But verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not. You're talking something you don't even understand. Some of the stuff that happens around you and the people around you is doing what they're doing, you don't even understand why Yah is allowing it. You don't even understand why he put it in place. So shut your mouth. He's saying, you brute beast. You're speaking evil and you don't even quite understand. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption from talking. It's going to lead to your own corruption. Mm-hmm. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, which is hell, as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime, cause problems in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes. Didn't he say we should be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? He said, you who do 11 and 10 and 12, you're a spot, you're a blemish, you're a wrinkle. Sporting themselves with their own deceit while they eat with you. You know, we're not supposed to be breaking bread with these people. This is what I told you happens on Sunday. I grew up in church, and I'm telling you, they would say, oh, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we shouted for an hour, meaning they danced, played the music. And I would see Friday night, the church buses take people home, and men getting out with women they weren't married to, getting out the van, telling them, yeah, okay, y'all, God bless y'all, we see y'all on Sunday, going in to commit fornication or adultery. It was Mo linking up after church, because you know why? They got more into sensuality. Oh, I need to find the scripture, as opposed to spirituality. And what they did was they aroused their emotions through what they thought was the Holy Spirit, and it was their flesh, and they were getting caught up into worshiping of a God, and it escapes me right now. Oh, I want to give you this so bad. There was a God that the Hebrews fell into worship, and they would let the women come in that were harlots, the church temple harlots, and dance until everybody was aroused, and then it would lead to orgies. This is what happens in church when it's just a feel-good message and people just jumping around and shouting, and they feel so good in their flesh. After that, they go all out and commit adultery and fornication. So Tamar's going to try to find that. Let me keep reading. 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They just can't stop sinning. And that's why they love grace. They don't want to hear about the law. That's too hard. We got grace. Because I can't stop myself from sinning. But this law can, if you keep it day and night. Listen to what 14 says. It confirms covetousness that was spoken of in the third chapter with the false prophets being covetous. 14 says this. Let's see, where did I leave off? Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. What does that mean? Deceiving people who are double-minded, unstable. Paul knew about this instability. He knew that the majority of these people that were converting were very unstable because they wouldn't convert all the way. Beguiling unstable souls. This is what the false prophets do on Sunday, because they know you're unstable because you don't understand the law. A heart that they have exercised with covetous practice. Here's the covetousness again.
They have exercised with covetous practices. They practice what they're going to preach on Sunday. Do you know how some preachers that we have in a certain part of their notes when they get ready to preach where they're going to start doing that tuning up? And then they actually like highlight the part where I'm going to tune up. This is where I want you to get on the organ and really work it out. And guess where that comes from? I'm about to show you the scripture right now that the Apocrypha speaks against it. If you look in the Apocrypha in the book of Ecclesiasticus, I believe I can find that real quick. Let me see if I can find that. It tells you not to make speeches with music, not to utilize music when giving the word. And this is what they do every Sunday. In that Pentecostal, that Baptist church, they utilize that organ to get the emotions of the people stirred up. Ecclesiasticus 32 and 4. See if you can pull that one up too. Ecclesiasticus 32 and 4. I'll keep reading until she finds that. Verse 15. This is the false prophet. Wait, let me finish 14. A heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. That's what they are. 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Ecclesiasticus 32 and 4 before I pick that up. It says, pour not out words where there is a musician, and show not forth wisdom out of time. Warnings to preachers. They keep a musician with them so they can stir your emotions, but they won't sit down and break it down line upon line, precept upon precept. As a matter of fact, this is the book of Jude that tells you this. But beloved, Jude 1 and 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of Yeshua, how that they told you there will be mockers in the last days who should walk after their own ungodly lust. There's your precept. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. Why? Sensual is in the Greek psychikos, which means having a bestial nature. We just read about brute beasts in 2 Peter 2 and 12. So he's talking about these false prophets who are sensual, bestial, and they don't have spirituality. They separated themselves from Yah. They are not of Yah. They are of the flesh and of sensuality. They don't have the spirit of Yah. On Sundays, because they rolled around and foamed at the mouth, and he grabbed his ear and kicked his leg up with the music, talking about, won't he do it? Let me finish this up. Verse 15, 2 Peter 2 and 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. These false prophets are following Satan, who said they would follow me in Isaiah 14 with his 5-point plan. He's got these preachers lusting at the houses and money. How the hell are you going to preach the gospel, but you living in a mansion? All that money you getting can buy other people houses, feed starving children. Babies are dying in the streets. Every time you get enough money to be able to go buy something like that, you should be like, he said, it's going to be hard for a rich man to make it into the kingdom. It'll be easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle. Hold on to that money if you want. You'll die a fool, a rich fool. 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, loved it, loved the money that comes from that man who just hit the lottery, a dope dealer that come to your church and say, hey, preacher, I'm pulling a little money, bucket. You know, I know you like money, preacher. They all go to church on Sunday and continue in sin and not change it. They just want to feel good for 2 hours and then continue on doing the things that they do to get that money. And you love them coming in giving it because you're going to be like, shall I have robbed God? I need 10 people over here to give $1,000. Who can? Somebody in here can give $20,000. Verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity. Here it goes. My wife thought I was tripping when I called this title Lion-Ass Pastors. Let's get it. Verse 16, talking about these false preachers who follow Satan. Mm-hmm. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. That's where Lion-Ass Pastor came from.
Peter said, but was rebuked for his sins. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. 17. These are wells without water, useless. Clouds that are carried with the tempest, dangerous. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. It's coming. Judgment is coming for these false Sunday prophets. Talking about Sunday is the new Sabbath. But when they speak great swelling words of vanity, y'all better watch it. They vain. Things I used to do, I don't do no more because he's changed me. And ooh, y'all love it, don't you? You love it, huh? You like that, babe? Give me an offer for $100. They allure, here we go, through the lust of your flesh. I need you to slap three people now and tell them I'm walking into a new season. That car you wanted, that husband you wanted, that wife you wanted, it's coming. But you've got to shout right now and act like it's already here. Speak those things that are not.
Would you stop?
Well, that's what you hear. That's what y'all love. Got a smile out of you. What is it? Swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh. They appease your flesh through your wantonness. You listen to that sermon and see if it speaks to what you want. Not what you need, but what you want. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Hallelujah. You and the truth got away from the madness. You escaped when you found the truth. Now you're the most hated. 19. While they promise, false prophets, promise you freedom. I'm no longer under bondage of the law. I am free because he that the Son sets free. Five people start running around that ungodly pagan temple. They just start running like they're in a track meet. What you running for? Promise them freedom. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same is he brought in bondage. Hold on, let me read 19 again. While they promise them, false prophets promise people that they're going to be free, they're going to have liberty, you're going to be rich, you're going to pay all your bills, while they themselves, the false prophets, are servants of corruption, for they're a servant of everything that's corruptible. They're serving their own lusts. For of whom a man is overcome of the same has been brought in bondage. You're going into bondage when you go back into that type and form of Christianity, which is not in the Bible, which Yeshua was not. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yeshua, our Savior, and then they are again entangled back with the world, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Meaning, if you let somebody talk you out of what you know is the truth and keeping these commandments, and then you go back to just saying, I ain't got to keep these commandments. I miss these damn ribs and crab fest, and I'm going back to church on Sunday, and we ain't got to do all that. You are entangled back into destruction. That is verse 20. Your latter will be worse than the beginning. I know so many people who walked away from Yah and this truth that ended up dead. Left their wife because one of the sisters looked so good in the church. Or the sister started messing around with other sisters. Or the sister allowed herself to fall into a multiple marriage situation and sharing the man with another woman. Y'all all living in adultery. You're going to get destroyed by Satan. He's looking to come into the crevice and the cracks and destroy you. And the Bible tells you that Satan comes to rob, kill, and then destroy your reputation, your integrity, your legacy, everything. I'm almost finished. Verse 21. Understand that. Going back to sin and going back to that form of Christianity is going back into sin, because what you're doing is becoming a lawless person and allowing a corrupt leader to make merchandise of you. 21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments. Peter is my man. Peter is my man. Don't forget, Most High got him ready for the Gentiles before he got Paul ready. Y'all don't realize that, do y'all? He got Peter in a dream to get ready to open the door for Gentiles. Then Paul got converted. Don't tell me nothing. Peter is my man. Peter, let me read it again, 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, which is keeping commandments. Can you find the law is that righteousness is keeping the law? That's in Psalms 119. Then after they have known how to keep the commandments, then to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto you. Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Hogs and pigs always go back to the dirt. And a dog will eat his vomit because he's sick and disgusting. So understand that Yeshua told us these false prophets would be here. They are here, according to Matthew. They are here. And this is what you're in. And if you know about these commandments, you stay with these commandments. And you stay in this form of truth. Keep the truth. Samaya, you want to ask anything, say anything, comment on anything?
No, it's a good lesson. Definitely to hear about these pastors that are that are keeping our people in darkness. It's unfortunate during the times that we live in that the order hasn't changed and how they bring the people into church. That's why our people are in every religion, from Hindu to Muslim to Zao, all those things, chakras. All that because we have a people that have been lost. The foundation was started with Christianity, but over the years, the misuse and the handling of Yah's word has led the people astray. And so now they're looking for something to gravitate to hold on to, because they're not getting it, getting fed in these churches. It's the same old song, same old dance, same old message. Our people are hurting, they're sick, they're tired, they're looking for Yah. They're looking to man, which is wrong. And these preachers are not doing their jobs to keep people from going to these different religions. The reason why I said that, I had to go to court yesterday on behalf of a client. There was a young lady there. You know, I always don't like seeing our people fighting each other. It would be best if we can do the matters amongst each other in righteousness. The scripture talks about that, about us handling the business outside the court system. But nevertheless, that was a lady. She probably was in her mid-50s, 60s. She was black, and she was Muslim. But the one thing I can say is when she sat up in that courtroom, she was covered up. It was all covered up. She sat up in that courtroom. She sat up there with poise and great intelligence. Now, I'm not
promoting
Islam. I'm just getting to a point of how the woman carried herself in order.
Yeah.
She had her everything. It was covered. She was clean. Right. She was dressed well nice. So after our hearing, went to the restroom, and she was in there. And let me tell you what she was doing. She had missed her prayer time. I guess it's whenever they go pray in the morning. She missed her prayer time, and she said, when I came in, she was washing her face, and I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she said, yes. Yeah. She said, I'm cleansing my face from what was going on in the courtroom so I can get ready to pray.
Hallelujah. But I know she's praying to another, but they got good principles.
You know,
these false pastors aren't teaching you these principles.
But when I listen, even the Jehovah's Witness, they will walk these streets for their cause, for their religion. And us, we will sit back in vain practices and same bull crap and not give our all to Yah. We have to be careful. I brought that up because that touched me. Every time Yah brings a woman in my life that is my elder, these women carry themselves in such great poise that it's refreshing to see. And not saying I want to be Islam, but it's a renewing of my mind that that woman can pray without ceasing to get the flesh and the dead of what she heard in that courtroom.
Well, they stole our principles. For you to admire that, don't forget that Muhammad came 600 years after Christ's death.
Right.
And he came in being taught by Hebrews. And let me tell you this also, people. I talked about this last week on the lesson. A lot of Hebrew, we were enslaved by the Arabs first, who were dark-skinned. And during that time, they were telling us, either convert to Islam or we will kill you. And they got tired of their land being taxed, and they didn't want to die, so they would act like physically they were converting, but in secret kept the statutes, laws, and commandments. And so they, a lot of our principles got immersed together, copying. So the way you like that dress is the way we, as Hebrews and in the truth, the women are supposed to dress.
Right,
in modest apparel.
I was getting ready to say that, and I don't want to divert from the lesson. Well, I guess you're done.
Go ahead,
but,
no, because I'm going to go back into the righteousness I found it, but go ahead.
But just what you're saying is then, and I know a lot of sisters always, when you teach that modest apparel, their clapback is, well, it's not on the outside, it's on the inside.
Hmm.
They'll clap back with that quick. But at the end of the day, yes, it is a renewing of your mind. But think about it, sisters and men. When you see a woman like I did, there's another judge, she wasn't Muslim, but she was dressed with immodest apparel, you get compliments. I get compliments. You look very pretty today. Very beautiful. But when you see a woman showing her flesh, you don't get that.
You look gawking.
Right. You don't get that. You look very nice. You don't get that. That it was just refreshing to see how she carried herself. She wasn't loud in the court. She was very calm. She fought for what she thought was right. And her whole attitude and it was just refreshing to see. And I noticed that. And that's why we encourage you, because people are watching us. We can't say we're living for Christ if we dress like the world.
Right.
So I just wanted to bring that out. I didn't want
to
take over.
Before I really started waking up, we were in the church teaching holiness, and holiness was keeping these commandments. But that's gone. That's not what they teach anymore. You're false. You're being taught corruptible, damnable heresies. Verse 21 of 2 Peter 2 and 21 said, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment." To confirm that, righteousness in Psalms 119 and 172 says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." The commandments are righteousness. You're not righteous unless you're keeping the commandments. And what we just got to read in 2 Peter also says this, confirms. Let's see, where did I find that? Psalms 119 also. The verse 142 says that righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The one I want to bring out is Psalms 119 and 150 that says, "They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law." The ones who are following you, false pastors, are far from the law. And if you don't have the law, you don't have the truth. You don't have righteousness if you're not keeping the commandments. I don't want to hear nothing about a new covenant, because a covenant pertains to a marriage license. He's going to marry us again after we go up under the rod, and then the commandments will be written in our hearts. Damn, they're not written in our hearts yet. We're not under a new covenant, a new marriage. He has not married Israel. He's grafting in the Gentiles right now, and he will not wake us all up until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, which means you better start telling these other nations to come back to the commandments and keep the commandments and to come to Yeshua, because the quicker they come in, the quicker we'll be where we're supposed to be going.
That's right. There's no more telling them that you're not getting in the kingdom, you're the devil, you're this, because we all were in that mindset. That, you know, that because of the hurt and the demise that these people have put us on, us in this captivity, we brought this on ourselves. Now that we know the truth, we go and tell them what needs to happen in order for Yeshua to come. So
there's a nation that's going to grab on the hem of our garments and say, "Truly, y'all are the people of Yah. Take us with you.
Yeah.
Take us with you. Teach us these commandments." He also said in the word that if they don't come up every year for the Feast of Tabernacles, they will not receive rain.
Mm-hmm.
He's letting you know there's going to be a remnant of them that's going to make it. Hallelujah. Y'all stop believing the lies. I just broke it down. What happens on Sundays? So you got to keep these commandments.
All right.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. That was Brother D saying that these people have heard this false doctrine from these camps and got that stuff out there. So I thank God that the Most High, I thank Yah for Yeshua that He has not let us be relegated to any man-made religions, false truth, heresies. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know how it works and keeps you out of it? Read the word and you'll
read
see.
The word.
You'll know. You'll be like,
read the word.
Mrs. Tamar found, hold up. We brought this out probably 3 months ago. And I might be able to find it. We found out that, all this lifting your hands and praying to the east, unscriptural.
Oh, that's right. That was a while. We did.
I'm going to show you. We was all doing it. Everybody, yeah. Everybody face home to the motherland,
yeah.
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Just to prove that you need to read the word. Making cakes to, who's that God? The women, Tammuz. It's in that chapter. Give me 1 second, because I want you to see this. It's Ezekiel, the 8th chapter.
16th.
Okay. Got it? You got it?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out something. You just, you're doing things because other people are doing it.
Yeah.
And you don't truly know it.
My son worship. It's right here.
It was a vision. Ezekiel saw people that were doing sun worship. Worshiping the sun. Like they do on Sunday. They're going to do Sunday morning. Then he brought me to the door. Ezekiel 8 and 14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Most High's house, which was toward the north.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. That's that false image
mm-hmm.
of Christ. And you got all the women. That's why you got more women in church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all that crying and weeping. Oh, hallelujah. Gone with all that. Verse 15. And then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? We showed him a vision of the Christian church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. He was calling that an abomination. The angel had shown Ezekiel in a vision. And he brought me into the inner court of the Most High's house. And behold, at the door of this temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Yah and their faces towards the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. An abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Who
we
taught
that
you?
Quick.
We stopped that quick.
Stopped it quick.
Everybody stand
what?
Up, put your hands up, face towards the east.
No.
Face towards. You're doing what's an abomination that Ezekiel saw, that he saw in the vision.
We have to repent.
Why are you doing what you do?
We have to repent for that. That's why I say we got to read this word.
Get in your word.
And stop doing what everybody
stop
else tells you to do.
Stop listening to these false prophets, these lying ass pastors.
Yeah, that's what it says. We stopped immediately.
Immediately.
They worship the sun towards the east. He's basically saying you should not be facing the east.
I preached on posturing, and the only thing we've seen is where he said, take your shoes off
mm-hmm.
or lay prostrate
mm-hmm.
on the floor with your face to the earth or get on your knee, bow down before him.
That's what the Muslims do. And again, not the Islam thing, but I'm just saying these other cultures, they put their head down. They are at the ground praying to Yah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that's what we're supposed to be doing.
But
not them. They're playing the Muhammad.
We have a form
no.
of a false religion
no.
called Christianity.
We
and
put our hands,
Yeshua
yeah.
was not a Christian.
Right.
And you can't find Christianity nowhere in the Bible. It's
mm-hmm.
not in there.
You got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work.
A lot of reading to do.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for tuning in today. Lengthy lesson. I thank the Most High for giving us the words to speak. Pray that you'll grow by it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Yah. So we'll close out with this, just saying that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, but truth is a journey, not a destination. None of us have arrived. Allow yourself to not have a stronghold to where you fight against the truth by trying to hold so fast to a false doctrine you've been taught, which is a heretical doctrine. And you convince us the truth. Grow grow, and let the commandments sanctify you. That's all I want to say today. This has been Sister Taman, Elder V, from Al Hoida. Find us on ALMHOIDA Church on Facebook and the archives of Blog Talk. May the Most High bless and keep you. I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to close it. I don't know. You've probably been noticing I've been closing out with Shirley Caesar. I ain't so much her. It's what she's saying. Hashitan. We start the song off with Lucifer, Son of the Morning. No, that ain't Jay-Z and Kanye West. If you listen to the whole song, he says, Lucifer, Son of the Morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. Our job is to get rid of the devil, cast out demons like Yeshua said we would do, and lay hands on the sick and they recover. And then in her song, she says, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You got this place for a short while, but we're coming against you and your false doctrines. That's what we aim to do. I pray that you do the same. Have a blessed week. Most High, allow it, but enjoy the rest of the Sabbath while it exists in this day. Lose the drama. Check the people around you. Make your friends. hallelujah. Let me find this song.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes. You've been a bitter head. Your kingdom. Oh, Lord.
All over this
land. That's all right. I'm gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan, or the preacher.
I'm gonna preach your kingdom down.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm so fresh, so clean, because of that man. He bled and died and gave me life again. I mean, life began because I was sinking down to the pit. That's where I was heading. My ultimate half the sin, evident and sacrifice. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tremendously saving my life. You saved my life. Yup, 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 you saved my life. And you made me brand new.
I used to.